Welcome to another exciting episode of the Biohacker Blondie podcast, where we talk all things health, wellness, longevity, and of course, biohacking. I'm your host, Jenny Jones, and today we're diving deep into a topic that affects many people, but is often overlooked: mold toxicity. We are so fortunate to have a true expert in this field, Dr. Ashley Beckman, joining us. Ashley is a mold specialist with over 15 years of experience, and she's designed a transformative 60-day program to guide those affected by mold exposure through a comprehensive detox, helping you reclaim your health and vitality. As mold toxicity becomes more recognized as a root cause of numerous health issues, from brain fog to chronic illness, it's crucial to bring awareness to its effects. Dr. Beckman will be sharing her insights on how mold can impact your body, the challenges of detoxing, and why so many people struggle to recognize mold as the root of their symptoms. In this episode, we'll uncover everything you need to know about mold, from identifying it in your home to understanding how it affects your body, and of course, what you can do to detox effectively. Whether you've had mysterious health issues for years, or are just learning about the dangers of mold, this episode is packed with actionable tips and expert advice. So now let's dive in to this amazing episode with Dr. Ashley Beckman. Are you looking to boost your longevity and support your body's natural vitality? Look no further than Particular Supplements, my trusted source for top quality longevity supplements. Their NMN is my go-to for enhancing energy levels, promoting better mitochondrial function, and supporting healthy aging. For additional support, they offer TMG to enhance methylation and protect DNA, and quercetin for its powerful antioxidant properties to combat oxidative stress and inflammation. Particular's range of supplements also include physatin for cellular rejuvenation and spermidine for autophagy support, making it easier to maintain optimal health at every stage of life. I only put the best in my body, which is why I choose Particular's clean supplements, free from fillers, additives, or artificial ingredients, ensuring the highest quality and effectiveness. Ready to elevate your health journey? Visit Particular.com and use my special discount code BHB at checkout for 10% off your order. Details are also available in the show notes below. Give your body the best with Particular and start living a healthier, more vibrant life today. Okay, well, welcome to another episode of the Biohacker Blondie podcast. I am so excited because we are here with Dr. Ashley Beckman, and we are going to get all into mold. And you are basically a mold specialist, and you have a whole 60-day program and all these things, and which I love because, as you know, mold toxicity is becoming more and more familiar, and people are dealing with this, and they are going all different routes and not realizing the root cause is mold. So many people have questions. I have questions. It's not easy to detox. So let's get into it. So welcome so much. I would love to hear a little background why you got into this. And yeah, well, welcome. Thank you for taking the time out of your day.
Of course. Yep, I'm really passionate about this because I've been in practice, maybe about 15 years. But again, in the last five or so, I started focusing a lot more on mold toxicity specifically because I was exposed in a home, beautiful home, didn't see mold anywhere. And so it seems strange, right, that could be such a big piece, but that's why I love labs and you can see what's going on. And I had not felt very good, similar to something that happened maybe 15 years prior. And I thought, this is strange, right? I need to investigate, which I do with all my clients. And I found that I had been exposed to a lot of different types of mold. And so then we checked our home and it also had a lot of mold in pretty much every room because it got into the HVAC system. So it just spreads everywhere, right? So what I was starting to do with my clients, of course, than I did with myself. And it was just very interesting to dive into this and just see, because it affects everyone differently. And even within one home, different people can be affected in different ways. So again, I'm really passionate about it, especially as a root cause. I think it is one of the most overlooked and misdiagnosed root causes. And so again, I just really like to give people tools so they can feel empowered throughout this process.
Yeah, so many people have had symptoms, and I've always said, you should probably check mold. And they have gone, like, I had one friend who went to, I don't know, she was in the emergency room. She had, you know, every weird symptom possible and spent so much money at the hospital and finally saw a functional medicine practitioner and tested for mold. And it was high levels of mold, and it affects your whole body. And I think so many people are in denial, thinking, how do I have mold toxicity? Like, is that real? Is that even a thing? And it is. And it really can disrupt your neurotransmitters. Like, every part of your body is disrupted by mold. It's very detrimental to your health. And a lot of people think of black mold as, yes, we know when we see black mold, okay, get out, get rid of everything. It's horrible. But all these other molds are popping up and realizing that that's still harming, like maybe not as detrimental, but it's definitely harming our body, lowering our immune system. Can you give a little description of the different molds, what you see typically, where it's coming from, homes, food, and the difference between maybe black mold and these other molds?
Sure. So there are a lot of different types of mold, right? And then again, not all mold is bad. We have a lot of mold that is just in our environment. But then we get a lot of molds that are toxic and they give off mycotoxins, right? So these are the toxins emitted from the mold that create problems in our system. And you kind of have two different ways that this will happen, right? You could have environmental type mold that is caused from water damage. And those are usually really bad. That's where you do have some of the black mold families. You have different types of mold that they're very detrimental, and they often go after a specific organ, or they affect people neurologically. And then you also then have foodborne molds, right? And this happens because of storage of usually grains, nuts, things like that, right? So coffee is a huge one, peanuts and oats and things like that. And it's basically just because they're already basically kind of damp, and then however they're stored or processed, they're not really checked that well, right? A lot of times people think, oh, if something is organic, then it's probably doesn't have mold, but that's not necessarily true. So that's where you're going to get a lot of these foodborne molds. And then they're also fed to, you know, cattle and things like that that are fed grains as well. So grains, just by their nature, have the potential to have mycotoxins. And again, this doesn't necessarily mean that you won't get as sick from them, but a lot of times those are some things that we can avoid a little bit easier. The two biggest things I say to avoid would be to make sure and get mycotoxin tests in coffee. And I tell people to just cut out peanuts, right? They are very high in something called aflatoxins, which are very, very hard on the system. So again, I don't say cut out all the grains and seeds and nuts, because that's just too much and that's not really the goal. But when you have something that is very well known for high amounts of that, then I do suggest, you know, using a different nut butter instead of peanuts. I really say get rid of the peanuts.
Yeah. Which coffee do you use?
So yes, I know that's always a thing. So I'm not a coffee drinker, but my mom is. So, you know, we always want the cleanest stuff for our family as well. So I've given her, she drinks Purity Coffee. Okay. That's been around a very long time. There's Life Boost. There is Equip, which is my favorite beef protein powder, now has mold-free coffee. Let's see. The person on the forefront was Bulletproof, right? So now he has Danger Coffee. That's his newer brand.
Are you looking for a convenient and effective way to experience the benefits of peptides without the need for injections? Look no further than Level Up Health, my go-to brand for meticulously stacked oral peptides designed for maximum benefit. Their offerings include powerful options like liver support, gut repair, and BPC-157, and they just launched their latest innovation, NeuroRegenerate, perfect for supporting brain health and cognitive function. Whether you're at home or traveling, these oral peptide stacks provide a hassle-free solution to boost your wellness journey. Ready to try them out? Head over to levelup.health.com, that is LVLUP health.com, and use the code BIOHACKERBLONDIE, that is BIOHACKERBLONDIE, yes, just with an I, at checkout to receive 10% discount. The details and links will also be available in the show notes. Don't miss out this opportunity to elevate your health with Level Up Health's premium peptide stacks.
And then there's Kion as well. So there are quite a few, but again, it really depends on what you like. But those are my brands that I tell people to check out.
So you test a lot of patients, right?
Yes. Yeah.
How many people have mold toxicity?
So in my current client population, so granted, I usually get cases, right, that are some sort of autoimmune issue that they're looking to find the reason, or sort of these, again, it's usually women or kids with mystery symptoms that they have not been able to get diagnosed, right? So I do have sensitive people, but it's in 90% of my clients that I test. And this is having, I would say, at least two or more types of molds. So you have quite a few. And now I'm seeing more and more, right? It was very common that people just had a few. Maybe ochratoxin A is a very common one that is in a lot of foods and grains, right? But someone can just feel really bad even having ochratoxin A. So again, it's not necessarily always the types, but it's what it does to the individual's body. And I'd say I work with a lot of little kiddos. The ones that are born into a home with mold, those are very, very sick kids. And they usually present with either eczema, very, very, like very tenacious eczema that's in multiple point, you know, areas of their body, or they just keep getting sick, right? These fevers of unknown origin, they're tested by the hospital usually even because they think it's some sort of infectious disease. And a lot of times they have off the charts mold and they're teeny, right? They're little, they're 2 years old, 4 years old, and they basically were born into it. So their immune system is taking a big hit.
Yeah, I don't think people are thinking of kids when they think of mold, but it definitely can be the whole family.
Yeah,
I listened to one podcast, a doctor here, he got really into testing mold, especially for kids, because he saw it so much and realized it wasn't a common thing to test for.
His
kid had such bad eczema, you know, 5-year-old or something, scratching all the time, found the mold next to the bed. So there's so many questions here. Where do you, I guess we'll first start with symptoms.
Sure.
What are common symptoms people should look out for? I always think, you know, people who want to get their health back, they feel off. Do your typical blood work, eat healthy, sleep, do these, the foundation.
And shunt.
You'll feel, you know, something's off. It probably is mold. Like, I just feel like people who are, you know, doing all those things and your body's still saying, hey, something's off. A lot of the times it comes back to mold. So that's always my suggestion. Do the basics. And then if you still feel off, but what are the typical, we got into some eczema, I feel like brain fog, there's so many things.
Yeah. So a lot of times too, it really is such a wide spectrum, and that's what makes it so difficult, I think, for people to grasp, right? Because again, even within their home, their child could have eczema and then the mom has migraines and joint pain and is exhausted. But they don't seem to correlate, right? But basically, it also, you know, you do get the common symptoms for some people that are more in the respiratory system. So chronic sinus infections, asthma, and again, just getting sick all the time, right? And then you also will get a lot of like mental emotional symptoms like anxiety, OCD, because it can do for the neurotransmitters. Even impacting ADD and just behavioral issues in kids, neurological tics. I see these a lot with little kids. And then again, for adults too, you could have a lot of digestive issues, but mostly how it shows up is when someone has Epstein-Barr, right, reactivation, or they have chronic viral issues that just aren't going away, chronic sinus infections. You have a lot of people that are just also even kind of like angry and irritable to depressed. They talk about rage a lot, even with mold exposure too, just this high level of irritability because of the anger is associated with the liver in Chinese medicine, right? So some people that either manifests as depression, or it can be all the, the other spectrum, which is that like outbursts of anger and irritability. So there are a lot of ways that it really is impacting people. There's definitely a lot more. There's so many. I've seen it with miscarriages, right? So many autoimmune thyroid, hormones. So it impacts the thyroid a lot, impacts hormones, usually causes a lot of weight gain for women because it what it's doing to the hormonal system and with the estrogen and progesterone. So again, a lot of people don't come to me thinking it's mold, right? They're thinking, oh, something's not right. I'm really fatigued, very tired, and I just don't feel like me anymore, right? So, and then I'm in this camp, right? I'm 46. So everyone's on this perimenopause, cycle of, is it perimenopause? So it's so hard to differentiate these things, but we have to go right upstream. And that's why I always look for mold, because the mold is impacting even our system's ability to regulate our hormones, regulate weight with thyroid and things like that too. And it's a big trigger. Also, again, I do work with a lot of Lyme clients, and I've had Lyme. So if anybody has Lyme, it is something that I always check for, because we have to get rid of the mold at least before or at least during Lyme protocols.
Yeah, I know the Lyme is another.
The other thing. Yeah.
When, a lot of people have symptoms and go all the different ways. And then
I know.
Lyme. But that makes a good point that you should check for both if you are still like not feeling so great, because those both can cause a lot of issues. But I'm fortunate. I actually have the high levels, but I don't think I'm impacted as much. I know there's a gene. It's like HLA. You test for that as well, if people have the gene?
So what's interesting about the gene is basically it's present in about 25% of the population. I love genetics, right? I wrote my thesis on some epigenetic compounds and what they do. So green tea, resveratrol, curcumin, and sulforaphane. So there are things we can do that can, really help support our genes. And the thing with the mold gene is that basically it can make you more susceptible to chronic inflammatory response when you're exposed to mold. So I personally don't have the gene. My mom has the gene. I was the most sick in our house, if that makes sense, right? So it doesn't always boil down to the genes, right? Because if how you live your life, which we know, can downregulate and or optimize genes that we want in a favorable way. So it still really comes down to a lot of the times kind of like our toxic bucket, right? And how full is it? And how are you genetically, and how able are you to get rid of toxins? So again, the genes are a piece, right? But it's not the whole piece. But I do love to check. But I also am looking at how does someone process heavy metals? What are their methylation pathways? Do they need glutathione? What type of support can we give to that particular individual so that they can detox well?
Yeah, I'm such an advocate for detoxing, because not only is mold, heavy metals, and all these things so common, but it's like we are surrounded by chemicals, toxins, plastics. And so I tell everyone, detox all the time. Just take your glutathione NAC. Take your binders, get those plastics out, get those heavy metals. We're just, I feel like in the last, 100 years, we have, I don't know how many chemicals we have added, and it's in our water, soil, and everything. Mm-hmm. And it's so bad. So I think that's a big part. And I like how you said, your toxic bucket? Because I think like all these toxins compounding, and then you have mold, it's like, you know, it just keeps building, right? Like, we just add chemicals daily to our body. And then the older you get, it's harder to detox.
Yeah.
You're having more of a buildup and it is more difficult. So I want to get into supplements, but I kind of want to think first of like how a person is going to, you know, first they're like, I don't feel great. Okay, now what? Because a lot of people are like, they just start, they ignore it. And the testing is super easy, first of all. Yeah. Like, I'm not sure which one you do. I know there's the mycotoxin, and it tests, it's a urine test. It literally takes like a, you know,
5 minutes. Yeah, it's easy. So easy.
Narrow it out.
Yes.
So, what is that? What is the one called? There's an M, I think. I don't know. Is that the one you typically?
I use Vibrant America. Their test checks for 29 different markers. There's 29. Mosaic. Yeah. So, yes. So, Mosaic was the first kind of, not the first, but the most commonly used. But yeah, they don't check. They check for about a third of that almost. So, I don't use Mosaic. I use Vibrant America. And that's my favorite because I've had clients that come with a Mosaic test, right? And then they think, I really shouldn't be feeling this bad if I just have one and it's very little. But you're missing out on checking, you know, another 18 markers. So it's, you know what I mean? You're only going to see what you're testing for. So again, it's not that the testing's perfect, but it is, to me, more comprehensive to use Vibrant America testing. And it's very easy. Again, I have, you know, clients of all ages because it's urine at home. It's so simple. It does take about 3 weeks to get back. And then you basically, we need to create your specific protocol. But again, there's certain things, and you mentioned some of them, that are just good in general. You know, there are certain things we need to support in order for one to be able to detox from mycotoxins.
Yeah. Is the one with how many, I don't know, you said 29 or something?
29, yeah.
Is it more expensive than...
It is a little bit more expensive, yes. The Vibrant America one is more expensive. And then not all practitioners, you know, you have to be a licensed practitioner generally to have an account. So it's not as commonly used, right, or as widely available.
Yeah. And do you see, because I've only done the Mosaic, used to be Great Plains, yes. Do you see a lot of those other mycotoxins on the other test high as well?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. This is so crazy. I didn't even know there was 29 biomarkers for mold.
Yes. Yeah.
this is scary.
Well, and the thing is too, the part that makes it a little tricky is, let's say you did get a home inspector or you got a dust test, right? An ERMI test. They don't line up perfectly, right? So the ones that they're testing for aren't always the same exact ones. They're in the same family. So, you know, people assume, oh, if I get my home tested, is it going to be exactly similar to what's in my body? And it's not, it doesn't always line up perfectly. And then the other piece of that is basically the urine test. You can be excreting mold from that has been in your system, even if you're exposed at a young age, right? So a lot of times your body could maybe handle one or two exposures. This is very common. Schools are really filled with mold, right? If anybody, especially I'd say preschools, elementary schools, I mean, and high school and middle, all of it. Once you start going and seeing the rooms and looking up at the ceiling tiles, you're like, ooh, you know, this is potentially problematic, right? So a lot of the times too, again, it's just your body can handle so much, and then it has some sort of an assault, and that might be a very new mold exposure in your current home that sort of puts you over the edge, right? And then it's very difficult, and you need a protocol. You need to kind of shore up what's happening in your home so that you can make your home a safe environment.
Do you work with any mold inspectors? Do you have any ones you recommend? I get this question all the time, and I think people are so nervous because they're like, okay, who do I hire? How do you know how they test? Like, this is,
yes,
I think everyone who moves into a new house or something,
yeah,
tests for mold. It's so common, and it could be detrimental. And even, you know, I've listened to other podcasts where it's like relationships have been on
the
like,
oh, for sure,
whatever, breakup, because the mold is making you tired, depressed, fatigued, you know, your hormones are down, your libido's down, your testosterone's down. So like,
yeah,
then it starts affecting your family
relationship. And a lot of people don't even, they don't even believe that it's a thing, right? So yeah. There's a few things, there's so much you mentioned even just there. But so one thing is, you know, basically I have a course, right, for clients and also practitioners. And in that we have a list of articles. They're PubMed articles, but they're showing how mold are known toxins, either carcinogenic or toxic for the liver, kidneys, and things like that. So we don't want anyone to ever think, right, that this is not something that is impactful and a serious toxin to worry about, right? It's a major stress on relationships. I've seen that's a really big thing for a lot of people. And unfortunately, it's usually the female, like the mother or kids that are sick. Often the dad isn't as much, and there's different reasons for that. But partly in general, sometimes men have a stronger constitution. And then it also just depends on how much exposure they're getting and where the mold is in the home, right? If it's in the bedroom and it's in their bedroom, then they might have more exposure. But, you know, sometimes people are in a kitchen more or an office more or the kids' bedroom, wherever it is. It's just, you know, you're getting more depending on where you are. But the other thing is, too, is so you basically, I would suggest, of course, anybody, if you're ever moving somewhere, at least get an ERMI, or it's called a dust test. And it basically is just going to show the health of the home. You're getting dust samples from a variety of places in the home. So it's not going to show you specifically one room, but it will show you in general if there is some past mold exposure or current based on this dust that's collected. So some people kind of sneak one in and do it on their own, because mold inspection isn't really part of the home buying process, right? It pretty much, because it's so prevalent, realtors are not a fan of the word mold, right? No one likes to hear that because it's usually a big process. And again, over 50% of the homes have some sort of mold, right? So again, it just is how clean can you get your home to be, and who is the most sensitive in your home? You know, like the health of them is kind of what you need to base it off of.
So do you, since you live in Malibu and get a lot of and I'm in LA, Venice. Do you have anyone you recommend here? I would love.
Who would you recommend? So I have, so Mold Inspection Sciences is who I've used for my home, and they have offices in a variety. They're in, also my clients in Seattle work with them, and then Colorado. They have a lot of offices, and they're really great. They're very fair. I have a couple people that work remotely that also either teach you a little bit about visual inspection, or they can even send you the kits, right? I have the dust kit that someone can order. I have dust plates that, again, I just have links for these, but they're the ones I use. But basically, the part that's tricky is that nothing is really foolproof, right? An inspector is your best bet, because they will do surface testing, they will do visual inspection, and they'll do air samples, and then they'll do control samples. Right. So again, there is mold. Most homes, again, they have some, a little bit, but you really need to see what type it is, and then what's the control to outside versus inside. And even the difference between the, if you have two stories, you want to see the difference. But relying solely just on air tests is not good. I've had clients, you know, they have amazing clear samples, and that's because they have amazing air filters, right? Which is a part of it. But again, you'll miss things that can still be potentially keeping someone very sick.
What about, I just changed out my mattress because I was so worried. I've had this mattress in San Francisco, and I'm pretty sure San Francisco just,
oh yeah,
old. Every building's old, and they have roof leaks. People need to think about certain areas, like Miami floods a lot, very old and their roof systems constant leakage. And does anyone go in there and replace it? No, like they just let it get moldy, you know? So, and then, so do you think too, like anything porous, do we need to get rid of? I mean, I just can't wash my mattress. So I was like, I'm getting rid of this, and then I'm going to wash everything. And also washers have mold too.
Yeah.
And what do you suggest getting rid of and how to clean products?
Sure. So yes, a mattress can't be cleaned, right? So if I was in a home, and this happened to me, so I was in a home, like I said, that had, there was mold in all the bedrooms. So unfortunately, that meant we were somewhere that they were not going to remediate, right? So my landlord just decided they were not going to do that. And so they would fog because they were told that the fogging would kill everything and that would be the solution, which it isn't, right? So
what is fogging?
Just like, it's like a atomizer basically with a cleaning solution. They go through, it's supposed to, you know, magically just kill all the mold spores everywhere, which it does not. So I tested a bunch of all of my furniture after the fogging just to make sure, right? And everything was still very positive on the tests.
How do you test furniture? Like I can...
I use a little test plate, right? You can use a test plate. So just not for fun, but I mean, I did wish that it worked, but I knew it wasn't going to. But you can take that and then test. Like I tested the bed, I tested couches and things like that. So yes, things that are porous, you really can't clean those. It depends on your couch. We actually had everything was removable too, and that those rooms were not as impacted. So basically, things that you can wash, right? Usually you can, and it's. They can be, it depends, again, how sick somebody is, right? If you're someone that walks into a home and then immediately has red eyes, watery, and starts to react, that's a very different situation, right, than somebody who doesn't notice or smell mold anywhere in a home, but it's there. So, you have to kind of tailor how strict your cleaning is to the person who gets the most sick in your home and what they're capable, what their body is reacting to. But anything porous, right, like pillows and couches and beds generally cannot be salvaged unless there's some way to clean them, right? Not the mattresses, but some couches, right, are totally removable and cleanable. But pretty much everything else, there's a cleaning process. Microfiber cloths will pick up 70 times the amount of dust. So those are usually what's used. There are some different cleaning solutions. I use EC3 quite a bit from microbalance formulas.
What does include? Because I have, I know this brand super strong. They have like hypochlorous acid, then I have Clorox.
Yes.
And then like white vinegar, apple cider vinegar. I kind of did it all in hot water because I'm just like, get rid of like anything, you know. Just removed my mattress, and so I washed everything really well. But this is like really good information because I think, people, and also how you were saying with the, people who feel sick, I think people don't, they just normalize a lot of these symptoms.
Yes. And I think people downplay their symptoms, right? And just think like, oh, it's menopause or perimenopause or I'm a tired mom, right? Like all of those are just very normal. And that's kind of what happened to me. I felt really badly because I had just transitioned from being in an office to working in my home office, which had a leak in it that I did know of that was patched, but it wasn't fixed. Do you know what I mean? So it actually was not correctly fixed. But because I was in a new space for 8 hours a day or whatnot, it depends just where you are in your home, where the leak is and how much exposure you have. If it's your bedroom, a lot of people get sick because you're in there overnight, right? And that is where, again, I see a lot of people with their kids, they'll find visible mold like on the child's either like bed or mattress or something, right? And so, or carpet, because sometimes people have dehumidifiers or humidifiers. They have all different gadgets and things, right, with water. And pretty much anywhere where there's water, there's a potential for mold exposure. So in general, under the sinks, bathrooms, laundry rooms, those are the most common places. But it really, again, because we have, you know, vents and things that go throughout the house, it can spread.
You clean
like once? Yes, people do have professional, you can have the professionals come and get your vent service, which they do suggest about once a year.
And do they like flush it out, the mold, or just the filter, basically?
No, they have to clean them well. It's a big process. And again, that's what's very hard is it's so expensive, right? And then you do need to make sure and allocate money to cleaning out your body too, right? It's this kind of, you're going to need to do both. Most people cannot leave their home, right? Like it's not feasible. So you do have to do things like regular cleaning and having really good air filters to keep your home as clean as you can. And like I said, a lot of people, they're not able to do a full remediation.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a complex thing because it's like you need to like get rid of things, which no one wants to like.
Yeah.
Work, like to get rid of my bed. And I had a very comfortable bed. So I was like, okay. And then, you know, exchange it, get a new one. It's like, that's work. The testing to see, mm-hmm. you know, a few $100 there. And then you have to detox. So it is definitely a process. And I think a lot of people just get to a point where they're like my friend said, she lives off of the canals. She's been having issues. They found mold everywhere. She started to have seizures. And
oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so I have to get out of here. Like it gets to, I think for a lot of people, you know, where it just is like, it gets so bad where they're just like, I can't even live in this environment anymore.
Right.
Whatever it takes to get out. And
yes.
This happens a lot.
It does. And again, we do live places, right, that are especially prone to dampness, right? Again, the whole West Coast is really, it's a big thing. A lot of my clients that are in Seattle are some of the worst labs that I've seen. Like, again, because they've lived in multiple homes with leaks, and it's just normal, right? I mean, it's normal everywhere. That's the problem, right? Because again, it's just, it is a part of our world, but it unfortunately, it just depends on, you know, people are just getting very, very sick because of how much they're exposed to on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. And I've definitely listened to a lot of mold podcasts. Like the thing is too, I feel like our immune system is lowered. Viruses or other things can like make things react more.
Mm-hmm.
And we also now have homes where the type of material for all this insulation and stuff, actually the mold loves it.
Yes. So, and energy efficient homes, you're trapping everything in. There's not this airflow that there used to be, right?
Yeah.
And so that's another big piece and problem. And again, a lot of times people, I talk about mold myths a lot, right? Because people hear something and then it's actually not true at all, right? So they think, and I get this a lot. People say, oh, no, my home is brand new. There's no way there's mold. But if you've seen, right, it's not as rainy here, but people still build homes when it's raining. All of the materials are left out. So a lot of the times you can build this brand new, beautiful home. And when they tear out the piece, you know, whenever it gets found where there's mold, it can be covered. And it just seems incredible that it would be that way. But it's because, too, the materials tend to come that way.
And I know. I think a lot of people don't think of that. And that's also someone who I interviewed for his company, Superstratum. He sees that a lot. And so that's why he built, like, the spray and other things to make sure that new homes do not contain mold. Because that is a huge issue.
It is.
I wish there was, you know, things that could just be easier. Like maybe we could just spray every home with, like, you know, but it's like mold easily loves to like keep growing, you know, hard to almost kill. And it loves to like keep going and going. And it's also very like these nano mold particles can start getting through your air and start, you know, going to other places. So you said that you have people looking like, what should people look for if they think they have mold? Like, is it, you know, a crack in the ceiling? Is it, you know, mold that you would like maybe some black little fuzz or something?
You see black fuzz, yeah, then you definitely have an issue. But mostly they're subtle things, right? Like look at your baseboard, see if there's any sort of water staining. Look and see if there's any sort of bubbling anywhere on any paint, right? Or that's all water damage. So the things that we used to think of, right, even when you were a little kid or something, it's like, oh, it just, there was water here before. So generally that means that there's probably been some sort of water intrusion or water issue. If you've ever had a leak, that is, it's only takes 24 to 48 hours for the mold to start growing. Doesn't mean you can't dry it out. You just need to be on top of it, right?
Yeah.
So there are little leak detectors, which you can get off Amazon that are really great for under all the sinks. There are also, I think it's a good idea to use kind of like the plastic trays also, because you can catch that water under a sink before it has infiltrated the building materials underneath, right? Or the cabinets. So there are things also you can do just to make it a little bit easier should there be a small leak, right? And then, yeah, any sort of, I mean, bathrooms are a big one, right? It's really important if you have windows to be able to just keep those open and let the air flow. And then in general, things like when people say like, oh, it's just a little mildew, right? It's usually mold, right? So unfortunately, it's more about managing moisture and things like that and exposure and leaks than anything. And then if you do have something, just really get on it and open that up as quick as possible.
Yeah, it's a whole issue. I just had some in my bathroom around the bathtub, and they're finally going to put some marble to find, you know, around the bathtub to get rid of this. And it's been a common issue. And I'm like, but I definitely have had mold in my bathroom just around my bathtub.
Yeah.
There is no windows. There is a vent at least, but I don't, you know, it's just, it is hard to avoid.
It is.
I know for me, I was seeing a doctor up in the Bay Area, and, you know, he did ozone and all these amazing treatments on me, and then I even bought an ozone machine. What do you think of ozone? What is your typical mode protocol, the supplements? How do you get people to open their detox pathways and get that mold out?
Yeah. So I think there are a lot of amazing treatments, right? Ozone can be one. It depends on the client, right, and how they are. Sometimes these are too strong for people. Mm-hmm. So it really is, I don't, you know, people want to get, they think that too, it's stronger, is better, and it's going to work faster. But that's not necessarily the case. A lot of times you can overwhelm the system because you do have to be mindful that these are really strong pathogens and toxins. So yes, we always want to make sure that they're like going to the bathroom every day at least. And then ideally they would be sweating too and moving, because you need to just keep the lymph moving. You need to keep, you know, you need to be able to go to the bathroom and eliminate well. So you need to make sure, I like magnesium. And then if people need other things for that, again, moving the lymph is really important.
Yeah.
And then again, kind of like what you were saying, like I love binders. I use Cellcor, or I use other ones. If I use Takasumi, if someone's very sensitive, another like a very nice charcoal binder that's very pure. And then you need definitely have to support the liver and the gallbladder, right? So I love Tudka or different types of things to support the bile. And then also different herbs to support the liver, like milk thistle or Schisandra, dandelion, things like that, or combination. I do love glandulars, so I use liver, gallbladder, glandular a lot too. And then if you need methylation support, so if you need different types of B vitamins to just make sure that you're optimizing the pathways for detox. And then just other things, right? It's important. You're going to work through a whole process when you're dealing with mold. But the binders are really, really helpful. And a lot of times you're on something with me for quite a long time, depending on how many you have and then how you clear them.
Yeah. And I love, what is your thoughts on glutathione or just taking NAC? Or do you recommend like a liposomal glutathione? Also do IV, like anything in your practice of like IVs of glutathione or anything?
So I don't do the IV glutathione, but I mean, I'll suggest them to people. I love liposomal glutathione. I use that instead of NAC. I sort of just go straight to glutathione. If people are having lung issues too, I do like NAC. Usually, it might be in a combination liver support that I would suggest. Or again, if they're having specific lung and breathing issues, I do love NAC. But I love glutathione more. So I use it more. And again, I do use liposomal.
I feel like there's a debate because I've heard, you know, some people say that it doesn't, you know, the glutathione can't really your body absorb it. And then
The liposomal is the best bet, right? Right. So I only use the liposomal.
Liposomal. Okay. Yeah. Do you recommend a brand that people can, you know, like Quiksilver Scientific's pretty common.
Yeah.
Symbiotic.
I use Quiksilver and Designs for Health. It's basically the same one. Okay. But I do like glutathione complex by Quiksilver because then you've added some of the methylated Bs in it and a few other compounds. So, you know, again, people get tired of taking things and they feel like supplement fatigue, right? So that glutathione complex by Quiksilver, I love because it's kind of like two vitamins in one, right?
Yeah.
And that's my favorite. Body Bio has a liposomal glutathione in a capsule.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. I love all those.
And then I'm a big fan, again, this is more on foundations too, probably actually in the drainage pathway part, but of minerals, right? So I use a hair tissue mineral test to see what minerals people, again, I don't use that exactly just looking at the minerals, but to see kind of what's going on a mineral basis with clients. So I'm a big fan of magnesium. I like the Bioptimizers magnesium a lot. And then I use different electrolyte and mineral complexes. I like Elite or Quinton, and I use a lot of Desbio products as well, and they have a liquid trace mineral complex that I really like.
You know, sometimes I forget about the minerals, like the Quinton, and I'm like, I used to take that a lot, and now I forgot about this. Like, you just, I don't know, we have all these solutions, and sometimes you forget. I'm like,
for
that's
sure.
One. I love all the testing. I think testing is such a great foundation to know what's going on with your health and your body. It's just the mineral test, the blood work, vitamin deficiencies, and then, you know, the mold and, you know, heavy metals is a huge issue as well. So it's like, you know, these testing, and I have to say, like, I felt great. Like, I felt like something was off, but when I retested and found out I had high levels again, like, really opened your eyes and make action when you test and you're like, oh my God, like I have high levels. I need to be proactive, you know? Like, so that's what another great thing is about the blood work and all these tests is like, you're more likely to do something when you see the results on paper, you know?
Yeah, I would say that is, I mean, it's not like testing is always necessary, right? Like you can talk to someone, get a lot of symptoms. I have a lot of different quizzes, but it really is different when you see it on there, right? It really helps put it in perspective. And then for me, I still have kind of a roadmap of what I go through. But if someone has really high amounts of something, you know, we tweak the protocol to make sure that we're addressing something that if it's creating a lot of symptoms, right? Like someone might have Epstein-Barr, so they have a lot of fatigue and we want to make sure to be addressing that while we're still dealing with like the upstream issue, right? Because you don't want someone to just stay symptomatic when we could be helping them with some herbs and things along the way.
Yeah. Do you ever, I know like, you know, the MTHFR gene and other things too can, you know, not what's the right word is to kind of you're not detoxing as well. You ever test the DNA or any, you
know? Yes, I love testing genes. Okay. I don't just test MTHFR, like I run a full panel.
Okay.
But I love I love checking for different, how we detox different pathogens, because I think that that's very important. Again, because sometimes for somebody, heavy metals could be a bigger, potentially a bigger impact for them than pesticides or mold toxins or Lyme. And in the tests that I use, those are all looked at.
What are some common genes? Like, isn't there one with glutathione as well, like a gene where you might not produce as much glutathione?
Yes. And so I like to check those because that's kind of what happened, not what happened to me, but in when I first was doing the total toxin testing, right? So Mosaic or Great Plains, they have their toxin test and that checks for environmental toxins and pesticides and glyphosate. And mine was horrible, right? It was, I had, I think there's 18 markers on there. 12 of them were in the like 95% or higher, which means like really bad. And I had already, I detoxed since high school. I would do the master cleanse every season. I did these really elaborate, like holistic detoxes a long time ago with this doctor named Dr. Schultz. He sells his company. Oh, you would know. He's in the arena. But so I've been doing those for years and I thought there's no way I even need to run this lab. I don't have anything. And it was so bad. And when I looked at my genetics, I had never used glutathione. I really had been taught that you could detox everything with food and herbs, right? As an herbalist, that's what I was taught. And never touched glutathione or a binder besides the clay that was in his, right? Not fulvic and humic was not popular, or even zeolites then. And so when I saw that, I was like, this is crazy, right? And a lot of it boiled down to that I really wasn't taking the exact right thing for my particular body. So I wasn't really getting that detox process activated because I needed help with the glutathione piece and I'd never taken it.
I know a lot of people don't think of this.
And yes,
the glutathione, some glycine, and that can really be helpful to detox. Like,
mm-hmm.
And then the binders, like some people are like, oh, I'm detoxing my liver with some milk thistle and these other things. And then you get these toxins recirculating in the body and you're never getting them out. So it's like kind of a step-by-step process. People need to realize it's like, you know, the liver, the gallbladder, get the bile going with the Tudka and like all this stuff. And then sweat, pee, poop, you know, like do all the things to those things out, and then eat the lymphatic drainage. I had a friend too who had mold and she was actually hospitalized because like her lymph nodes were not draining and they were actually, instead of checking for mold, this was previous before she found out she had mold toxicity, they did like some lymph node surgery on her in the hospital. Yeah, to drain the lymph nodes. It was so bad. So it's like when you have all these weird symptoms, like check the heavy metals, check the mold, check Lyme, check these things that, these toxins that really could be influencing all the, getting to the root cause, you know?
Yep.
So it's so important. Any other supplements you would recommend? I'm trying to think of like all the stuff that people can get from this podcast.
Yeah. You know? I am a big fan of phosphatidylcholine, right? So I do like to support the cell membrane. I think that is a big piece of this.
Yeah.
So again, we want to support the cell membrane structure so that the toxins can't get in. But then at the same time, you know, you do need to get toxins out. So I am a big fan of both, right? Of we want to clean up our terrain and then we also want to fortify it too. And while we're on that topic, I'll just add, I don't think everything can be resolved with nervous system regulation, right? I think it's a huge piece, but I do believe you still need to actively reduce your exposure and get rid of toxins that have accumulated in your system.
I know with, for me too, when I had mold and I kind of had accumulation of everything when I had it, but I was also taking, he had me on thymus and alpha one, some peptides. Mm-hmm. Do you ever recommend maybe peptides or other treatments?
You know,
there's definitely some more biohacking for modalities that you can add in, you know,
to help. I love peptides. I use peptides in my practice with my clients and myself. And just, basically put together, again, based on their labs and things like that, what would be a good stack for them and for what the goal is and what symptoms they're having, right? So a lot of clients have a lot of histamine issues, so we have to work on that. I love the thymus and alpha one. I like, again, we do need to support the immune system because it's generally taking a big hit with some of these exposures, but especially mycotoxins. And then again, it just depends on the client and what we need to focus on. But I love peptides, either oral or injectable. I love, you know, saunas, red lights. I basically kind of create protocols for clients, and then we just need to implement them and see, again, what works for them. Because a lot of my clients, you know, a cold plunge is not a good idea for them. They're already very, very stressed. Their thyroid and adrenals are already giant mess. So the last thing I want to do is something too dramatic for them, right? I think that's a big thing, especially, you know, a female body is very different than a male body, even just with at different points in our cycle, not even at different age levels, right? So it's, you know, this, I also teach longevity to practitioners in a course. And basically, you know, we need these biohacking tools, but for females, and it's, and for what's going on in your body. We don't want to stress it out. You know, hormetic stress, yeah, it's great. I think we have enough hormetic stress all day long. So I don't think, you know, it's always the best for a lot of, especially females who have these lots of layers going on, to add more, just shocking your poor little system, right? So
yeah,
I know. But I am a big fan, right, of sauna. And again, but there's gentle ways to do these things that still have really big effects.
Yeah, I think even just sweating, I know, like,
yeah.
There was an email from Higher Dose of their sauna blanket had mold, and just basically sweating every day got rid of most of the mold toxins. Now, yeah. I mean, maybe her pathways were great and she just needed to sweat it out. But everybody is different. Like, that's the hard part, is some people can react more to mold. Some people don't detox as well.
Yeah.
And so it's like a whole, you know, everyone reacts different. And there was something else I was going to ask you. So we got into some peptides. I know, like, DPC 157. Also, I'm thinking of, like, the gut. Oh, that was the nose. I think a lot of people are not thinking about, you know, your nasal passageways.
Yes, yeah.
Mold can get into your nose, and you got to also be cleansing your nose.
Yeah, so there's a Navage, which is that device, and you can kind of put either, and there's different things I put in depending on the client, but for mycotoxins, and it's really, that's really important because most people are inhaling mold, right? That is usually one of the direct pathways. Very strong drops I have as well, nasal drops. But again, you just want to always, like, ease into things. People, again, they want everything done yesterday and with one modality, and it's just not the way it works.
Yeah, it takes time, and you know, everyone is now like, oh, just give me a pill. But that will just cover it up, and you'll be on that pill forever and still feel like crap. So if you want to actually get to the root cause, take the time. Yes, it's costly in the, you know, beginning, but you won't be dealing with these issues. You'll feel so much better after, and it's like you'll save money in the long run.
You're cleaning up your health now. And I'm sure as you are, it's like all about prevention, really. So, you know, a lot of these accumulations of toxins, they lead to much bigger issues that are very hard to solve.
Yeah.
That's set in, right? So these symptoms that people have, they're warning signs to work on things now, right? So I think that it's, as opposed to, you know, people say like, oh, why is my body failing me? What's happening? Why is this happening? Right. But they're really good messengers to us to adjust our lifestyle and get these things out of our body now so that it's not something that is beyond repair later.
Yeah. So you're in Malibu. If anyone thinks they have mold toxicity, how do they just email you, call you, reach out on Instagram? What is your typical, how do they get a hold of you? And, you know, and also take your, like, your programs as well, which is so amazing.
Yeah. So, my practice is fully virtual. So you can either go to my website, which is drashley.com, or reach out on Instagram. There are links to book a visit, and you can also call my office manager. She's great to figure out what's the best, what you need. And then, yes, I have a course called masteringmold.com. And basically on there, it's kind of like a lot of the education that I would give to my clients privately. It has the protocols that I would use with some modifications, also for kids, modifications there too. And education also on what to do for the home. I have a few of my favorite people that are great at the home piece. So they have contributed to that. And yeah, it's just full of information. But again, I think that it's really important to reach out. And if you have questions, I have the quiz. I have a really great free mold resource guide. And just start there. And in there, there are links of my favorite tests and ways to clean up the home and all of that.
So much, because a lot of people are just like, who do I go to? Do I go see my regular doctor?
Oh,
like,
no.
You know,
yeah.
And then you're just going to go down.
I was told it's not a thing. It's really sad.
I know. It's, a lot of the times you will just not get to your root cause. It's like, here's some depression medication, anxiety medication, yeah, or some like pain medication.
Yeah.
Or birth control. Those are like the four they give all the time.
Yeah.
So this is so great. And since this is the Biohacker Blondie podcast, I always ask my guests three biohacks that they would love to tell the audience that they use daily, or, something that they've discovered new that they use.
Okay. Well, my three favorite biohacks, I would say, are methylene blue, sauna, and red light. I use those all the time, my favorites. But I still think the ultimate biohacks, right, are sunshine, good sleep, clean food and water, and move your body.
Yeah, I definitely think foundation is a big change for most people that are just not eating real food, not sleep, not moving. So those are really helpful. And then, get out.
No one wants to do them, though.
I know. That's what I'm like. Okay, you can feel amazing if you just eat real food, but does anyone
go to bed before 10? Maybe don't drink alcohol, right? Or whatever it is. And people, or whatever the things are that people are like, no.
I know. Yeah. I just did a podcast about fasting and I'm like, but no one, it's free. It's, it can help you with your metabolism, like all your, cells and detox and everything, but it's like, no one really wants to do it, even though it's, free.
Yeah, and that's ultimately even the most free, right? But it's the same, like, people have, they're holding on to, that's my time by myself. Like, if it's they go to bed later, or, I love to have a glass of wine every day. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you.
I know.
Whatever the thing is, though, right? That we just have these things that you don't want to remove people's joy from their life. You just want to make sure that they're working so hard to do these things and get healthy. And there's usually something in their life day to day that's throwing them off quite a bit.
Yeah, that's a good point. Quick question. I love methylene blue. What methylene blue are you using? Because I've been taking some drops every day and I love it. It's like, it's kind of gives your, your blood energy and gives your body some oxygen. Or which one do you use before you go?
I use Troscriptions.
Okay.
They're my favorite.
Those as well. So you just put a little Lost Engineer buckle.
I do. And then, it just depends. If I really want the energy, I let it dissolve, which is generally why I want to take it. But one of the Lyme co-infections I had was Bartonella. And it took away the symptoms I had from Bartonella in a week.
Wow.
So I used to get Lyme and mold and things impact me neurologically more so than other ways. So this was giving me this weird heat sensations in my foot. It was probably every 30 seconds, like all day long. And it was gone in a week on the methylene blue.
My gosh. I think it's, it's very antiviral, antibacterial, all. And so it's really great for anyone, you know, not only does it promote energy and blood flow, but I think, you know, it's also antibacterial. So like,
yeah, and it's especially against Bartonella and then Candida too. So, yeah, I mean, for me, it's been really great. And I'm generally not someone that feels a lot from supplements. You know, I take a lot of the things because I know what they do. So mm-hmm. when something comes along that I actually see something resolve quickly, I'm like, ooh, that was a good one for my particular system. Right.
I like that one. Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else that I think we kind of talked about everything, right?
I think so. Yeah. I think, again, yeah, foundations are key, but we still need to, get at some of the upstream issues of why you're not feeling well and get those also resolved too.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day coming on the podcast. It's been so much, and this is going to be really helpful for people because I think this will bring awareness to how, you know, common mold toxicity is, and it can be in your household and in your body. So it's so important to test for both.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Biohacker Blondie podcast. I hope you found this conversation with Dr. Ashley Beckman as eye-opening and informative as I did. Mold toxicity is a serious and often hidden issue that can have a huge impact on our health, and it's so important to be aware of the signs and take action if needed. If you're experiencing any unexplained symptoms or suspect mold might be affecting you or your loved ones, don't hesitate to reach out to Dr. Beckman or explore the resources she mentioned, including her comprehensive Mastering Mold program. Remember, health is all about proactive steps. Whether it's testing your environment, supporting your detox pathways, or implementing biohacks like red light therapy or glutathione, you have the power to take control of your well-being. As always, I'd love to hear from you. Feel free to connect with me on Instagram or share your thoughts about this episode. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you enjoyed today's content, please leave a review. Your feedback helps me grow and spread the word about the incredible power of biohacking. Until next time, stay healthy, stay curious, and keep biohacking your way to your best life.